I want to say that it's good for Carol and I to be back with you this Sunday, and we thank you so much for the invitation to be back with you. And again, we're thankful to be here today. I want to also comment about the arrangement up here. It's beautiful. And as was said, thank you to the one that did that. This morning, will you open your Bible to Mark chapter 14? The title of our sermon is The Only One Pulling. The Only One Pulling. In Mark chapter 14, we'll start at verse 26. Mark chapter 14, verse 26. Mark says that when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Of course, this is after the Lord had just instituted the Lord's Supper with them. And then we'll start with verse 32. Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." There in the garden, our Lord is alone. Some of his disciples are on the outer part of the garden. Three are a little bit closer in. But there he is, all alone. Will you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16? The Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." Paul said, as I was on trial, he said, "I was all alone." I want to ask some questions now. Are you ever lonely in this life? In your physical life, do you ever feel alone? In your spiritual walk, do you ever feel alone? We watch the national news and the local news, and we see all the violence in our country today. We see many of the political leaders supporting every immoral cause imaginable. Am I alone in standing for that which is right? Do you feel that way sometime or sometimes? The filth and the immorality on TV and the internet. Am I the only one still moral? Do you ever feel that way? We send our kids and our grandkids off to school and they hear the filthy language. They know the sexual immorality and the alcohol and drug abuse of classmates, often ones claiming to be Christians. And do they ask themselves, "Am I the only one faithful? Am I the only faithful Christian at my school today?" I would like to read a story to you, and this is where I actually got the title for the sermon this morning. And I believe this to be a powerful, powerful story for our physical lives today and also our spiritual lives today. And again, the title of it is The Only One Pulling. An out-of-towner drove his car into a ditch in a desolated area. Fortunately, a local farmer came to help with a strong horse named Buddy. And so he hitched Buddy up to the car and he yelled, "Pull, Nelly, pull." Buddy did not respond. Once more, the farmer hollered, "Pull, Buster, pull." And again, Buddy did not respond. So the farmer commanded, "Pull, Coco, pull." And again, nothing. Then the farmer said, "Pull, Buddy, pull." And the horse easily pulled the car out of the ditch. Well, obviously, the owner, the driver of the car, was very appreciative of what had just happened. But he was also very curious. And he asked the farmer, he said, "Why did you call the horse by the wrong name three times?" And the farmer said this, "Oh, Buddy is blind. And if he thought he was the only one pulling, he would not even try." What a powerful story for our physical lives and our spiritual lives today. We're a lot like Buddy, aren't we? We do not like to do something if we think we're the only one pulling. I'll give two or three examples quickly. Why should I put my time and effort into the work of the church? No one else seems to care. Or at the job, why should I go put out extra at the job? No one will appreciate it anyway. Or why should I be nice to someone or help someone? He's certainly not going to make any effort to be nice to me or to help me. As Brother Ronnie read a few moments ago, we're somewhat like Elijah in the cave, aren't we? And if you will, turn your Bibles again to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we look at verse 9 and verse 10 again. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. "And there he," Elijah, "went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And so he said, 'I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life.'" Do we sometimes say to God today, "I alone am left"? No one else is faithful. No one else is trying. But God said this to Elijah, verse 18. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Again, I believe that to be a powerful example for us today. Now, I want to make three applications of the story, The Only One Pulling. And as I make application of this story, I hope and pray that this sermon is very meaningful to you individually and also to this congregation collectively. So number one, the only one pulling, I want us to look at this as a church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church," and he did. In Acts chapter 2, we read of the first church being established at Jerusalem. And then the gospel was spread throughout Judea, Samaria, and other congregations were established. In Acts chapter 13, we read about the church at Antioch. And later we read as Paul addresses the different churches at Ephesus and Corinth and Rome and so on. And then you can turn to Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And Jesus addresses the seven churches of Asia. Now, what about today? Very, very important question. Is this church the only one pulling? I spoke at the Green Hills Church of Christ in Mount Juliet back in the spring, and like this congregation, the worship hour was at 9 o'clock, and that's when I spoke at 9 o'clock, and then at 10 o'clock, they had Bible study, and I was not asked to speak then, but Carol and I stayed anyway, and then during the Bible class, they began to talk about how many churches of Christ in the Nashville area that have become unfaithful to God's Word. If you travel across this country, you better check ahead. You better look on the internet. You better call. Don't rely on them having a sign out in the churchyard or on the church building that says Church of Christ. You get there on Sunday morning, they might have instrumental music. They might have choirs. They might have women serving on the Lord's table. They may even have women preachers and so on. You better do your checking. We know that church attendance is down almost everywhere. And we know that many congregations are just barely hanging on today. And so we ask the question, are we the only ones still pulling? Is there a temptation today to look around us at a cowboy congregation? I understand there's a congregation going to start up before long down on 96 Highway, about 2 or 3 miles from here. I believe that's correct, Grace Church. And so they start, and they're 20 people, then they're 50, then they're 100, and then they're 200, then they're 400 or 500 people going there, and so is there a temptation to say, oh, we need to be doing what they're doing? Now, what would Jesus say to all of that we've just said? What would he say to all of that? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18 again. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. That's what God said to Elijah. Would the Lord say to us today, I have hundreds, even thousands of faithful congregations that you do not even know about? Is that what he would say to us today? Now, in September, and I think I mentioned this before, but in September, the middle of September, I was supposed to go duck hunting in Saskatchewan, Canada. Well, that didn't work out. But anyway, we were supposed to worship with a congregation in Saskatchewan, Canada, in a little province, in a little town, there in Saskatchewan. Did you know there was a congregation there? Well, neither did I. Of course, again, I did not get to go and worship with them. What would Jesus say to this congregation today? I want to read 3 or 4 different passages. First of all, Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. The Apostle Paul says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort or encourage each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And then Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Our Lord says to the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. What would the Lord say to this church today? he would say, "You keep on pulling." Second, as we talk about this morning about the only one pulling, I'd like for us to address this from the standpoint of a preacher. A preacher. A church where I preached for 14 years in Cheatham County is currently looking for a new preacher. And like this church, they've invited me a couple times to come and fill in for them as they are looking for a preacher. And the elders there, they've confided in me, they are scared to death. Does that sound familiar to our elders here? How and where to find a sound preacher? Oh, we've all heard the horror stories, haven't we? So-and-so preacher used to be a fine, sound, faithful preacher. But now, he is a false teacher and he is a false preacher. For me as a preacher, fewer and fewer congregations want to hear, quote, the whole counsel of God. Fewer and fewer churches want to hear, quote, sound doctrine. Fewer and fewer churches want to hear all the truth of God's word. Oh, you can't preach about sin here. You can't preach about marriage and divorce here. You can't preach about sexual immorality here. You can't preach against strong drink here. Just preach love and grace, brother. And then they'll give you a little wink and say, you know, it's 2021 after all. You know what I sometimes feel like? A dinosaur. A relic of the past. Important questions. Am I the only one still pulling? Well, what would God say to that? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18, he said to Elijah, "Yet I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Would God say to me today, I still have hundreds, even thousands of preachers that are faithful to my word. You keep on pulling. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, he says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He says to Timothy, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, fulfill your ministry. God would say to me today, you keep on pulling. And he would say to this congregation today, and I know you just announced out of the pulpit a few moments ago that you have hired a preacher, and what I've heard of him, he is a sound preacher. But I want to say to the congregation, there's still sound preachers today. There's still sound preachers today. And they need to keep on pulling. Number three. The only one pulling, and I want to now address this to me and also address it to you. We look around us today and we know that the influence of religion in America is declining. As we said earlier, church attendance is steeply declining. Violence is everywhere. Immorality is a pandemic in our country today. And I want to repeat that. Immorality is a pandemic in our country today. Drunkenness and drug abuse everywhere. And I see more and more of my brethren participating in those things. And I see congregations saying, oh, it's okay. This is 2021. And so as an individual, do we ask the question, am I the only one pulling today? 1 Kings chapter 19, that's basically what Elijah said to God, wasn't it? Verse 9. He said that he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to them, what are you doing here, Elijah? And so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Very important. Do we say to God today, I alone am left? Nobody else is faithful. No one else is trying. No one else is pulling. Like Buddy and Elijah, we may be blind to what others are doing around us. But if I am the only one that's doing what is right, I must continue to do that which is right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and verse 58. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to say to you, first of all to myself, but then to you, you keep on pulling. You keep on pulling. Well, let's close with these thoughts. In Mark chapter 14, verse 32 through verse 42 that we read earlier, as far as Jesus and the disciples, Jesus was alone there in the garden, but he wasn't alone, was he? God was with him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, the Apostle Paul says that when I was on trial, he said, I was alone, everyone forsook me. But he was not alone, was he? The very next verse, he says, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. Paul was not alone. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, Elijah said, I'm alone. But Elijah was not alone. God was with him. And I want to say today, as an individual and as a congregation, we're not alone. God is with us today. And so we need to keep on pulling. There might be someone in the audience this morning that you're outside the body of Christ, that you need to come in faith, repenting of your sin or sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and then being baptized for the remission of your sins. Begin to walk in newness of life and begin to start pulling in your work for the Lord. There might be someone this morning, because of many various reasons, you have stopped pulling. And I would encourage you to come back this morning and begin to pull again in your service to the Lord. If you need to respond, will you come quickly as we stand and as we sing?